Charlie. "If this goes wrong, he'll have me thrown into the scorpion pit." Mr. Pin spread his hands expansively. "Well, the scorpion pit isn't as bad as it's cracked up to be, you know."
"It's a ing picnic compared to me," rumbled Mr. Tulip, his nose lighting up.
Charlie's eyes sought a way out. Unfortunately, one of them was cleverness. Mr. Pin hated the sight of Charlie trying to be clever. It was like watching a dog try to play the trombone.
"I'm not doing it for $10,000, he said. "I mean, you need me."
He let it hang in the air, which was very much what Mr. Pin was considering doing with Charlie.
"We had a deal, Charlie," he said mildly.
"Yeah, well, I reckon there's more money in this now," said Charlie.
"What do you think, Mr. Tulip?" Mr. Tulip opened his mouth to reply, but sneezed instead. A thin bolt of lightning earthed itself on Charlie's chain.
"Maybe we could go to 15,000, said Mr. Pin.
"And that's coming out of our share, Charlie."
"Yeah, well," said Charlie.
He was as far away from Mr. Tulip as possible now, because the man's dry hair was standing out from his head.
"But we want to see some extra effort, right?" said Mr. Pin.
"Starting right now, all you have to do is say..."
"What do you have to say?"
"You're relieved of your post, my man. Go away," said Charlie.
"Except we don't say it like that, do we, Charlie?" said Mr. Pin. "It's an order. You are his boss, and you have to give him a haughty stare. Look, how can I put it? You're a shopkeeper. Imagine that he's asked for credit."
It was 6 in the morning. Freezing fog held the city in its breathless grip. Through the mists they came, and into the press room behind the bucket they lurched, and out into the mists they went again, on a variety of legs, crutches, and wheels.
"May Peaker practice?"
Lord Veterinary heard the cry, and sent the overnight clerk down to the gate again. He noted the title. He smiled at the motto. He read the words. "It is the coldest winter in living memory, and that is official. Dr. Fettel Dodgast, 132, of Unseen University, told the Times, 'It is as cold as I can remember. Mind you, we don't get the winter these days that we had when I was young. Icicles, as long as a man's arm, have been seen on gutters about the city, and many pumps have frozen. Dr. Dodgast, 132, says the winter is worse than the one in 1902 when wolves invaded the city.' He added, 'And we were glad of that, because we hadn't seen fresh meat for a fortnight.' Mr. Josiah Windler, 45, of 12B Martlebury Street, has humorous vegetable that he will exhibit to all comers upon payment of a small sum. It is most droll. Mr. Clarence Harry, 39, begs to inform the public that he has lost a valuable watch, probably in the area of Dolly Sisters. Reward to finder. Please report to Times office. A iconographer with their own equipment, vanted by this publication. Apply at the Times office, the sign of the bucket. A miscreant stole $200 worth of silver from H. Hogland and Son Jewellers of Nonsuch Street yesterday p.m. Mr. Hogland, 32, who was threatened at knife point, told the Times, 'I shall recognise the man if I should see him again, because not many people have a stocking on their head.'" And Lord Veterinary smiled. And someone knocked softly at the door, and he glanced at the clock. "Come," he said. Nothing happened. After a few seconds, the soft knock came again. "Come in." And there was the pregnant silence again. And Lord Veterinary touched an apparently ordinary part of his desk top. And a long drawer appeared, out of what had seemed to be the solid walnut of the desk, sliding forward as though on oil. It contained a number of slim devices on a bed of black velvet, and a description of any one of them would certainly involve the word sharp. And he chose one, held it casually by his side, crossed soundlessly towards the door and turned the handle, stepping back quickly in case of a sudden rush. No one pushed, and the door, yielding to an unevenness in the hinges, swung inwards.